In this episode, we take a look at spell work. We explain some of our most favorite spells and how to do them. We look at how there's a lot of things in your modern day life that you do that are actually spells that you might not know, and also explain our very simplified approach to doing spell work.
Let's talk about what intuition really is.
Let's look at all the places intuition and ego show up in your life.
Let's share honestly.
Let's do the research.
I'm Jamie Hayhurst.
I'm Heather Wood.
This is the Intuitive Girls Guide.
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
We have a fun episode today.
I think this is going to be interesting.
I find it fun.
Yeah.
So it's spell work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you're not going to find in this episode is a lot of judgy, you have to be wearing a black cloak and
speaking
to crows whilst... I don't know what people think, but I feel like people gatekeep this stuff a lot and make it seem like it has to be more complicated than it is, and I don't care for that.
Well, I've seen that on TikTok.
Yeah.
I've seen people, like, posting that they're doing spells,
yeah,
and the comment sections are brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal of people, like, gatekeeping and judging and criticizing.
I don't like that.
No, I don't either.
And I don't think there's any reason for it. And I think anytime you see people really complicating spell work, it should be a red flag.
Yes.
Because spell work is not complicated. And it's very natural and connected to nature. And it's very similar to a lot of stuff you're already familiar with.
I was just going to say, we're already doing spell work. We just don't realize it. And then if you can sort of like formalize it a little bit, it makes it a little bit more intentional. But you're already doing it.
You're already doing it.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't want to spend a lot of time going into like the different cultures with this.
Mm-hmm.
We've done this in different episodes. Like
if
you go and listen to our ones on the Sabbats, if you listen to our episode on curses, generational curses, you can go find a lot of that stuff in there.
Even the fairy tale episode.
The fairy tale. Yes. We sprinkle it in everywhere.
Yeah.
The reason I'm not spending a lot of time on it here is... Well, really two reasons. First of all, like we always say, it was in every culture, everywhere, done slightly differently, called things a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
But the sort of like the real nuts and bolts of it are kind of the same everywhere.
Yeah.
The reasoning for it, all of that.
I mean, you're probably going to say this, but the only thing that I would say is don't do anything that's not a part of a closed practice.
And yes. And the thing with spells is that it's... There sort of hasn't been many things like that that have been closed because unfortunately slash some of it's a little bit good. I don't know. It's kind of a mixed bag.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've sort of lost where the original parts of it came from.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's bad to, I mean, I don't think it's good to lose culture. I think that's bad. But I do think that this is part of that like melting pot of pagan culture that had to survive sneakily.
Yeah.
So a lot of it just got mixed together.
Right.
So if you have a question about a spell, go seek further information about it.
Right.
But basically every single ancestor was doing this and you're actually doing it a lot and you don't know you're doing it.
Right.
It's just sort of clarifying it and bringing a little more intention to it.
Right. But if you see something online that you are interested in replicating, just do your due diligence to make sure that it's not part of a closed practice like hoodoo or voodoo.
Yeah.
It's not yours unless you're initiated into that.
And the good thing about hoodoo, voodoo stuff is that it's very different from most other spell work.
Right.
So you'll see like something that uses a lot of different language, a lot of different like... you know, setup of how to do it, that's a great time to do what you're saying, is to go like, wait a minute, let me make sure this is an appropriate place for me to be. Okay. Most of what I'm going to talk about is found across all cultures, but is really heavily found in like British Celtic tradition and then also Greek and Roman.
Yeah.
Now, partially, I would love to say that the reason I pulled these is because those are cultures that I'm a part of. I am. I'm actually one of those people that has like a little dip in every culture. I don't claim anything because of it, but you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
But really, like we also say all the time, the pagan white culture stuff survived better than everything else.
Right.
So you also have to take that in.
Exactly.
With what we're...
Yeah, you have to acknowledge that, the whiteness of that.
Exactly. So spell work has been given this sort of like mystical, devil-y, weird...
Mm.
Like, there's like a bippity-boppity-boo element, but there's also like a devil element. I always find it interesting that those can both survive together, but I hear both.
Yeah, it's always like what people need it to be.
Do they
want it to be silly and discredit it, or do they want it to be evil and discredit it?
Yeah, and even the silly and discredit it, it makes it seem like actual like sparks fly around you or like a puff of smoke and then something changes immediately. And I think that's kind of
that'd be cool.
It would be awesome. I think it's kind of like movie magic stuff.
Yes.
And that's fine. I have no problem with that in movies. But the problem is that we don't have any representation of it actually, like what it's really like. So people get this idea that like it's so sort of silly, like you're saying, and made up because that's how it's represented. But it was never like that.
Right. Or we have the wrong expectations like we do about mediumship, right? Like about intuitions. And if you're not seeing dead people, you're not intuitive.
Right. Exactly.
And if you're doing a spell and like confetti isn't flying everywhere, then it's not working.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So we have to have like manageable expectations.
Yeah.
Reasonable.
I mean, what's more accurate if you wanted to think of your ancestors doing spell work would be to imagine them having a pot on the fire and stirring a lot of ingredients in a soup.
Right.
That's a lot more accurate than like
sweeping a floor.
Yes. A lot more accurate than any of these poofs of smoke. Like, do you know what I mean? Like that's much more what we're doing. And there's a ton of modern day spell work that we call something else. I went to see like, what are the official definitions? They're all crap.
Yeah, I bet.
So I took what I sort of felt was like the best representation, which is to look at the word incantation.
Okay.
So there's a lot of definitions of this, but what I sort of pieced together is to summon a thing or action into being with words. Sometimes spoken, sometimes thought, sometimes sung, or sometimes chanted. All of that would encompass it.
I like that.
I think people get a little stuck or feel awkward doing spell work because they don't know what to say.
Mm.
But you don't actually have to say anything out loud.
Correct.
I do think it's more powerful to speak the words aloud and cause the vibration and move it through your throat chakra. Like, I do think that.
Right.
Yes. But if you don't feel comfortable or you're just starting or you're doing something quietly, still works.
Right.
Just you just have to be clear in your thinking.
That's why I repeat it in my head. If I'm doing it in my head,
yes,
I'll repeat it.
Yes.
To sort of like cement it in if I can't actually say it out loud.
Very smart. A lot of times when I first do the spell itself, which we'll get to, I'm going to give everybody a bunch of spells to try.
Yep.
I will say it aloud, but then anytime I'm like recalling it or like thinking of it again or, you know, we're going to talk about like if you had a bracelet that you used for a spell or something. Every time I look at it, I would think it. So I'm not always going to say it, but I'd probably say it the first time.
Yep.
So having like a clear sentence that you really like or sentences or even just a word, really helpful.
Agreed.
Okay. I also wanted to add in like a little bit of my own definition, which is just using words and then combining them with intention. Combining them with emotion, like being really present in emotion to alter your state to match what you want.
Yep.
To me is the pinnacle of intuition.
Right.
And that's what spell work is. So words are incredibly powerful just on their own.
Right.
But when you mix them with the intention and you mix them with emotion and you start to like focus on matching the state that you're in to the thing you want. Some people would say matching the frequency or the vibe, same thing.
It's very much like manifestation work.
It is. That's exactly where manifestation work comes from. That is what a spell is.
Right.
Every time.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd give you some modern day examples of witchcraft / spell work.
Let's hear it.
Okay. My favorite one is basically an entire church service is spell work.
Yes. Agreed.
And it's not
agreed.
It's not an accident. They took what pagans were doing and stole it.
What was working.
And then used it for their own, but said, you can't use it.
Right. Or your way is bad. This way is acceptable. So come on in.
Yes.
Come on in and do it in here.
Yes.
Because you can't do it out there.
Someone's going to say something and then everyone's going to chant it together. We're going to take a piece of bread and cast a spell on it and say it's the body of Christ. And you're going to eat it and then you're going to drink juice or wine or whatever. And we're going to put a spell on that and you're going to drink that.
Right.
Those are classic spells.
And then we're going to have some smoke and waft it around the
room. Yes. Yes. All of it. A sermon is a spell.
Yes.
That's just a longer spell.
Yeah.
That's all, the whole entire thing is spell work.
Yeah.
There's singing.
And we've said this in other episodes, but this is what, or maybe it was an Obsessed segment, but this is why people, these are the parts of religion that people have a hard time letting go of.
Yeah.
Because they actually really enjoy the ritual and the spell work.
Yeah. Come to this side. There's no side, but come over here. We still do it.
Yeah. And you can actually do it how you want to do it and what feels good for you and the things that you want to work on.
Instead of a hymn, you can sing a Taylor Swift song in the car as loud as you can with your friend. And that is
spell work.
Even better.
Yeah.
I mean, not to go on a Taylor Swift tangent.
No, let's do it.
Okay. My favorite Taylor Swift songs are the ones that are spells. I would say half of her songs are spells.
Absolutely.
And the half that, and I love all of her music. Right. There isn't a song I don't like that she has. But like literally the ones that come out and you can feel it, the energy of it as it first starts. I was like, oh, Taylor's casting a spell and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Like there are songs that you feel like an emotional connection to, that the person singing is guiding you to an emotion. Mm-hmm. They're casting a spell on you.
Right.
Love.
Yes.
I love it.
Right.
And that's spell work.
And you can see the progression of Taylor as she gets older and a little angrier.
Yes.
Right. A little more like world worn.
Yes.
Like her music becomes more and more magical.
Yes. She becomes more and more witchy as she goes. And I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Affirmations. If you've ever said an affirmation in your entire life, then that is a spell.
Exactly.
It's exactly what a spell
is. That's just the modern word.
It's usually a spell without the ritualistic element.
Right.
But it's still a spell.
Right. But if you repeat it, like I feel like some people have like rituals for how they repeat the affirmation. Yeah. Then it takes it a step further.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So again, I said like the Taylor stuff, but songs are spells.
Yes.
And one song right now that everyone is sort of catching on to being a spell, I see it on TikTok a lot. I don't know if you're on this side of TikTok.
What?
It's the Stevie Nicks, it's Fleetwood Mac.
Yes.
And it's Silver Springs. And Stevie Nicks is singing to her ex-husband, Kim, the words, like, time casts a spell on you and you know, you can't forget me. And she sings.
While they're both on stage
and
performing.
And she's staring at him in the video, singing it. And you can feel, even if you can't see it, you just hear it.
Right.
You can feel the spell she's casting on him.
Right.
Exactly. And you can feel him fully in it. Like he can't get out. He's trapped in the spell. It's so obvious in that one that people see it, but you see that all the time.
Right.
I think I'm going to say her name wrong. I think it's Kelsey Ballerini. Am I saying it right?
Yeah. Kelsey Ballerini.
She's all over TikTok right now with her songs and music videos and stuff about her breakup. Mm-hmm. And it's a spell.
Yeah.
That's why you're so entranced by it. That's why anytime you're listening to a song over and over again and it's making you feel something, you have a spell cast on you.
Right, because they're putting their emotions into the words.
Yeah.
To project this energy out.
And it's so altering
your state. You're then tapping into it.
Yeah.
And I think that like maybe we should clarify quickly that like I think there is a negative connotation that we need to acknowledge.
Oh yeah.
That when you're saying I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
That you're saying like you're having a spell cast on you.
Yes.
I think there are people that are going to hear that and be like, danger. You're casting a spell on me. Spell work isn't for bad things.
No.
It isn't for harm.
No. It's really not. And
right.
We're going to talk about like one of my favorite ones, which is getting someone to stop talking shit about you. It's a good one. But even that is not to hurt the person. It's to get rid of them from your life.
Exactly.
It's not like a spell to have you turn into a frog. It's not like a spell to have you not know what you're doing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's a spell to put you into a certain state. And, you know, we're going to talk about this, but you have to be willing.
Exactly.
You can't, like, so I can't just cast a spell on you that, like,
against my will,
you're going to love to play games at parties.
That would never happen.
It would never work.
You'd have to be a powerful sorceress.
I'm going to try
to make that happen.
I mean, I know I could force you to do it, but that's different.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, there's, I can't, you know, all of a sudden make you.
You can't change me.
No. If you were, like, wanting to get out of that and you wanted to play a game at a party, I could probably cast a spell on you to help you do that, but you would need to desire some part of that state.
Exactly. I'd have people to tap into that state.
And you would also, it wouldn't actually work on you unless you gave me permission, because you're an actual powerful witch. But for people who don't know how to have boundaries on their energy, they're much more affected and susceptible to be having their state altered.
Right.
But that's all it is. As soon as you realize your state's been altered, you can shift back.
Right.
Like, it's not,
it's
not scary.
Yeah. I would say that 90% of the spell work I do, which I do it sort of differently than most people, shocker, they're protective.
Yes.
I don't do spells on other people.
Yes.
I do them to me in my energy field, in like my home, and my immediate family.
Yes.
And then it works out from there.
Exactly. I'm much more interested in putting a spell on something for myself.
Correct.
Than I am for somebody else.
Right. I'm not
cursing. Except for the freezer one, which we'll get to.
Oh, well, yeah, the freezer, and people love the freezer
it's
one.
It's a good one.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But that still is protective, too.
It is protective.
Yeah. All right, we'll get there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, most people are like you and I in that sense.
Right.
That the spell, people who are practicing spell work are doing it for their own like goals and like something that they want or protection or whatever. Yes. Okay. Hypnosis is spell work.
Yes.
Friendship bracelets are spell work.
Yes.
So that's called a knot spell. I'm going to refer to that later.
Yes.
But anytime that you tie a knot and set an intention, that's called a knot spell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very powerful. I do it all the time.
This is why I call my husband a witch. Because he loves fishing.
Yeah.
But he loves the knot tying.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
oh, because you enjoy casting spells, Billy.
Because you're focusing right on the intent.
Yes. And it just, stuff like that really points out that, like, the idea that witchcraft was ever, like, this
like
weirdo
weird
group
thing.
Of people worshiping the devil is so crazy, because everything about witchcraft is stuff you do instinctively.
Yeah, it was entwined into every part of life at one point in time.
Yes, exactly. You instinctively go, like, all right, I'm going to set this intention. I'm going to tie this knot. Like, or tying knots does something to me energetically. It puts me in this really good state. Yeah, because it's casting a spell. Like, you just know that without having practiced witchcraft. That's why I don't like the protective
gatekeeping
thing. Or calling people, like, baby witches. Because I'm like, no. That's your birthright as a human.
Right.
It's been stolen from you.
Right.
You can take it back whenever you want.
Right.
Culturally appropriate. Like,
right.
Of course, pay attention to, like, what we said before. But, like, that's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let people tell you it's wrong.
Right.
It's just being connected to nature,
right,
and knowing what to do.
And think about, like, people who were getting on boats thousands of years ago, like, setting sail for where they had no idea where.
Oh my gosh, so much
and, like,
work.
How, like, like tying the knots, getting the ship ready, like
every sea shanty.
It wasn't exactly right. It wasn't just women doing it. Everyone was doing
exactly,
it.
Exactly, exactly, exactly right. Sleep stories are spell work.
Yes,
I love a sleep story because I like. It's great to fall asleep to someone casting a spell on you.
Yeah.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
I have to like their voice.
Yes.
If your voice irritates me, the spell won't work.
Oh, 1,000,000%.
Yeah. But if I enjoy your voice too much, it also won't work, because I would just be like.
Right. And if you're listening and you're like, oh, I who would tell me a sleep story? Like,
there's apps for that.
And you probably go on to YouTube and listen to, like, guided meditations.
Yeah. There's a sleep story app that is Calm. It's called. Yeah.
They can sponsor us too, by the way.
Oh yeah, give us a call, Calm. But there's, like, celebrities. There's, like, a Matthew McConaughey
one. Know. Yeah.
There's, like, that Cillian Murphy, the guy from Peaky Blinders. I really like his.
I love him.
You can have the Peaky Blinders guy cast a spell on you as you fall asleep. Why would you not want that?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
And then I wanted to see if you knew this spell work, if you were familiar with it, if I changed the terminology to how I see it. So a lot of people drink a magical elixir upon waking to alter their state in the morning.
Oh. I wasn't sure what you were talking about.
As you drink your coffee.
Grab my coffee. Yeah.
Drinking coffee is drinking like a potion to alter your state.
Or like drinking sleepy time tea.
Same thing.
At night.
All
before
spells.
You go to bed.
Spell work.
Right.
Spell work.
You are a witch.
Yes.
We are all witches.
Yes.
We all know this.
Exactly right.
And we don't have to look a certain way. I know we always say this, but like.
You don't have to wear a broom skirt.
I do feel like there are people who are going to hear this.
Yeah.
If they're listening. And think, ugh, like you're taking the specialness out of it. Like you're making it so everyone can do this really special thing that I can do. Like,
yeah.
But.
Too bad.
We're all like this.
Yeah. I
we
will
can
forever,
all have this magic.
I will forever fight up against people who want to gatekeep to make themselves look special.
Right.
I hate that because that's what keeps intuition from the mainstream.
Right.
And it's what keeps it like from anyone being going like, oh, I'm intuitive and I can understand that and make my life better.
Right.
By keeping this stuff this way, you hurt everybody.
Right.
To look what? Like, cool. Like magical?
Well, and like, should every single person like be writing books on witchcraft or like opening like stores, you know, like magical stores and
I mean,
selling
I would like
products.
That.
I mean, I would, yeah. But like, should every person be doing that? Like teaching it or sharing it? No.
Can you practice it?
Yes. And we all already do. So like you too can be special. You can be super special.
You too can be special for the low price.
And like your outfit and like the outfit that you love, that you think like in this vibe, this aesthetic. You know what I mean? But everyone else can have it too in their own way.
Listen, if you want to dress like Stevie Nicks, do it. There are days where I dress like Stevie Nicks. Do that. But you can also be wearing your jeans and your chucks, which is what we're both wearing right now, and be doing it. Like, it has nothing to do with that. But if the aesthetic helps you, great. But people who practice witchcraft, like, actually in their daily life aren't usually trying to, like, outwardly perform it that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's
and there are also like different like niche aesthetics that I think are in this community that like one's like a dark goth one and one's sort of like a woodsy like nature woman and they all think they have the rights onto like what real magic is or what real like spell work is but you're actually all doing the same thing
and you're just all representing it visually
in,
a little different
in different ways and that's great.
I love seeing all those different aesthetics.
Yeah,
I don't like when they think they're the only ones that can use it.
Right.
But I say this a lot in different ways, but like if one day you want to dress like some forest witch hag, do it.
Cool.
If the next day you want to dress like a goth witch princess, also do that. And do not let anyone tell you you can't like switch genres.
Yeah, right.
Do it all.
And
do whatever
magical,
you feel
however.
Like. Yes. You're also magical in your ripped jeans.
You're magical
or
working
leggings.
In a cubicle, like doing accounting.
Yes.
You're still doing this shit. You just don't know it yet.
I mean, I think anyone who can do math is magical. Really. So if you're, if that's you, you're already a high priestess witch, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, okay. I just wanted to give you, before we get to the spells, a few things about how you can cast a spell on someone else, and it's probably not what you're expecting.
Okay.
I mean, it's probably what you're expecting,
okay.
but other
okay.
people not. Okay. If you give someone a really great compliment, that's casting a spell on them.
Yep.
So it has to be genuine, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't think – I've seen people give fake compliments before, and I mean, as intuitive people, we can always tell.
Right.
But when you give someone, like, a real genuine compliment, if you're like, oh, my gosh, that color – looks so nice on you. It really makes your eyes pop. You look great. You can watch them walk away from that compliment in a higher altered state.
Right.
You just cast a spell on them.
Exactly.
They didn't suffer from it.
No.
But you can also hurt their feelings. You could be like, if I knew the thing that you were super insecure about and I said that about you and I was like, oh, blah, blah. I don't even want to say it because I'm not going to cast a spell.
Yeah.
But like I said, I used your insecurity against you to make you feel worse.
Right.
That's also a spell.
Exactly.
I cast a spell on you. It was a shitty one.
Yeah. You're manipulating energy.
Yes.
Right.
This is one we're familiar with that we do by accident a lot. sometimes on purpose, overpowering someone with your energy is a spell.
I do that.
we're familiar.
I'm always like, why is that person mad at me? Oh.
Yes. I mean,
too much.
I have a very careful masking system. I would also just like to make another side note here that, like, I really appreciate that so many people keep writing into us to be like, does Heather know she's autistic? Yes, I do. Please, you can continue to write. I have not been formally diagnosed, so I'm not going to come on and be like the autistic representative of the world, but so we've mentioned different things a few times, and it's caused this like little flurry of people to be like, Heather, are you aware?
A touch of the tism.
A touch of the tism. Yes. Okay, so.
Which, if you're if you're a longtime listener,
yeah,
it's going to make all of the hullabaloo.
On the neurodiversity episode.
Neurodiversity episode when we were like read for filth, or tried to be.
Yeah.
About like how we shouldn't be talking about autism and ADHD.
Yeah. I have been informally diagnosed with autism, not just by TikTok. I have also asked a few therapist friends, to which they looked at me like, oh, how do I gently tell you? Yes. So, yes, I am aware. I'm not trying to be the representative.
No.
But like, continue to write about it because I find it cathartic, honestly, for people to see me.
Right, to be seen.
Because I, obviously, it was missed for most of my life.
Well, for most women, they're presenting the way you are.
Yes.
In your generation, absolutely.
So what I'm about to say is probably one of the most autistic sentences that has ever existed. Okay.
Okay.
So because I am so used to masking all the time.
Yes.
I am also masking the amount of energy that is coming out of me into a room or a person.
Yes.
So for the most part, I do a pretty good job keeping it at a place that isn't going to make everyone have huge reactions.
Right.
I mean, they still have reactions, but it's, you know what I mean? I tamper it.
Right.
But there are times when I miss it, or it doesn't matter that it's tampered. It still hits somebody, but it's still a spell. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, but...
Can't wait to hear what you're going to say.
I know we sort of have gone off the path a little bit.
That's all right.
But I just want to point out that this, what you're talking about, I think a lot of our listeners feel.
Yeah.
And it...
It isn't just autism. You don't have to diagnose yourself.
Correct. And any neurodiversity.
Yeah.
Because I certainly would probably be diagnosed as having ADHD.
Yes, you would.
But that masking that you're talking about...
Yeah.
You can do that for a neurodiversity. You can do it for intuition.
Yes.
A lot of just intuitive people grow up masking their intuition.
Yes.
Because it's easier to manage it that way.
Also did that. Yes.
Correct. So that's my point, is that like,
yes,
people are masking for a lot of different reasons, but it's what we talked about in that episode, that just because you're masking doesn't mean that you can't also be intuitive.
Yes.
While also being...
Autistic
or
have
whatever.
ADHD or whatever.
Anything.
Yes.
Anything.
Yes.
Right? So,
yes,
like, they both coexist.
Absolutely.
But
one doesn't alter, like, if you go, like, oh, I'm autistic, not intuitive, that doesn't even make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
But
make
that's
any
what
sense.
People on the TikTok like.
It would just double your load.
Yes.
It would
double
the masking load.
The autistic part of what I said was that to me, it's, I don't even think about masking. I'm just so used to always masking and functioning that way that it's just something I'm doing.
Right.
So, I mean, you could, if you relate to that, you could have autism too. We can start a girl gang or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Witcheswithautism.com.
Yeah.
But
NWA.
But also, like, you need to go listen to our neurodiversity episode if you haven't listened to it. But like, all of neurotypicalness is being able to conform to this one standard. And so super intuitive people know how to conform.
Mm-hmm.
They don't always do it well, but we get that there's a conformity, because that's just how we're used to having to operate in a world that doesn't embrace intuition.
Right.
Okay. It was a long side note, but it was a good one.
I think it's an important one.
Okay. All right. I just came out as like an autistic person on the podcast.
Welcome.
Welcome. Yeah. I also have to say that aside from people writing in about, hey, does Heather know she has autism? Is a lot of people, even in like in person, quoting me. I sent it to you yesterday. One person me saying, do you want to wear the Kim pasties and go get coffee? And you saying, I'll just do a messy bun. I live for that. When people walk up to me and quote it, it's great.
It's a great visual representation of you and I.
It is the perfect representation of who we are as people. Okay. Using body language, spell work.
Which is why you are a body language expert.
But even if you don't understand that you're using body language, you're using body language, right. You're reading body language, even if you don't know you're doing it. Yes. So anytime you do that, you're using spell work.
Right. But if you find yourself interested in body language, like if you love that episode of ours,
yeah,
it's probably because you love spell work.
Yeah. And if you've never tried it, please seek spell work. Stay tuned for the next part of this episode because you'll love it.
Yep.
It's the same. It's really very similar.
Yep.
Okay. Negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
Spell work.
Yes.
You're moving towards an intention and altering someone's state to meet with what the outcome you want. That's spell work. Making a wish.
Yes.
Shooting star.
11/11.
Yeah, or just singing happy birthday and then make a wish, blow it a candle. Is there anything more witchy than that?
That is the witchiest.
Yeah, when people are like anti-witchy stuff, but then I see them doing that, I'm like, you just cast a spell.
Yeah,
you
like what,
made a wish. Don't say it aloud.
Yes, like what you want to bring to your new year.
While everyone chants the same words to you. At the end of it. Yeah.
Witchy. Heresy.
Okay. So I said a really rough insult, but just anytime you want to alter someone's state negatively, also, you're casting a spell. Even if you're just like lost your patience and you're yelling.
Right.
You did that.
Yeah.
So like we said before, it only works if on another person if they allow you to alter their state.
Right.
So power over your own state will help you be less affected by this. But like you said before, it's not some scary thing that like all of a sudden you're going to get like warts on your nose or something.
Right.
It's more just like you feel your state shift
based
on someone around you who might be purposely doing it or not purposely doing it.
Right. But if your personal boundaries or like weakness, like if you're not someone who's like a emotionally strong person, you're going to be very susceptible to that.
Perfect segue, because what I was going to say is the first thing you need to know is that your intuition alerts you the second someone has altered your state.
Correct.
The second someone has the intention of altering your state, your intuition will absolutely alert you. I know exactly what it feels like. It starts with this like tingling on the outside of my energy field, mm-hmm. and I just start to feel like something's off. Even if it's good, mm-hmm. I feel it coming. It's like a vacuum sucks somewhere. And then I feel like, ooh, something's just hit me. And it's like a little like rush through the system.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that feeling?
Yeah.
That's what it does. Sometimes it'll be like the air sucks out of you for a second. You know that feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Or like all of a sudden you're not grounded and you feel like all your energy went up to the top of your head. That's what my intuition likes to do when that's happening.
Yeah.
Your intuition tells you, it might not feel exactly like that.
Right.
I'm just giving examples, but like you will feel something. A lot of people will get like a quote unquote gut feeling in their stomach.
Yeah.
Right. Something has altered your state. It could be for good. It could be for bad,
yeah.
But your intuition will always alert you.
Yeah. My back goes up. Like I literally straighten.
It's like you're ready to fight.
It's like I'm just focusing.
Yeah. I bet fight, flight, or freeze have different. Yeah.
Responses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Now, if your state gets altered,
mm-hmm.
the second you notice, you can alter it back.
Exactly.
So
you don't have to go along for the ride.
No, that happens to
me
all the time where I'm like, ooh, someone's affecting me. They didn't cast a spell. They're just annoying.
Right.
Like, do you know what I mean?
Or you could be like me and like be going along for the ride, but be aware of it.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like sometimes I can't stop myself. But I'm like, why am I affected by this?
Yes.
But I'm still being pulled toward it. And it might take me a little while, but then I'm like, whoa. Whoa. And then I rein it back in.
And there's no shame in that. That happens to me too. Like you can process it later. It can affect you for a year if you need it to. It doesn't matter.
Right.
But like,
yep.
You can, like if someone has just cast a spell on you from across the room and it made you feel like giddy, take a deep breath and alter your state back. Like you're fine.
Right.
Is the point.
Exactly.
Okay. The other thing is boundaries of all kind are so important.
Right.
And the more intuitive you are, the more aware of spell work around you happening you
mm-hmm.
are. The more empathic you are, the more affected by it.
Right.
So if you are both highly intuitive and highly empathic, like mm-hmm. the two of us, you're really aware and you're really affected.
Right.
So you need to have boundaries.
Yes.
Not just energetic boundaries. You do need to have energetic boundaries. Please learn how to do that. We have episodes on that. Please go seek them.
Yep.
But like emotional boundaries. And like when someone has altered your state into a bad place, knowing how to get yourself out of that situation, however you need to.
Right.
So important. And I know that's not like what people want to hear when they hear spell work. They want like me to say, if you take a gauntlet of fire and drink smoke of a frog's eye or whatever, like then you won't be affected. But like the reality is that it's much more basic and normal.
Correct.
So you just have to learn things like that.
Right.
So again, know your symptoms. Know when your body, your intuition is going like, whoop. Like just get to know that. Just get familiar with that and work with that. All right, I want to take a quick break.
Yeah.
And then we're going to come back and I'm going to teach everybody a bunch of my favorite spells.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, y'all. It's Jamie with a little shameless self-promotion. We've had a lot of people reaching out asking about distal Reiki, so I wanted to let you all know that yes, you can book a session with me. If you'd like some distance Reiki, get in touch with me and we will set it up for you.
You know what goes great with podcast listening?
A great cup of coffee from a great coffee shop.
Yep, beans roasted in-house, amazing baristas. You know where I'm talking about.
Restoration Coffee. Can we go?
Yes, I need an Americano and maybe a panini too.
Ooh, I need blueberry maple latte and probably a resto bowl.
Ooh, yeah. Check them out and visit restoration-coffee.com.
Let's talk about what we're obsessed with this week. Okay, this week, now listen, this might be old news by the time this airs.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to talk about.
We're a little ahead of ourselves on recording.
Right.
We have a lot of stuff going on next month, so we had to get ahead of ourselves.
Right.
But this is what's going on right now, and so many people are, like, saying stuff to us about it, so we wanted to address it.
Sending this to us on social media and, like, DMing you about it, asking your thoughts.
Yes.
So we wanted to talk about this week has been sort of this viral moment with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes.
On a podcast, not ours.
No.
She can come on ours, though. We could talk.
I don't know if she's going to want to after this episode. But I actually would love to talk to Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to play a little clip of it if you haven't heard it or if you've forgotten about it.
Just to remind you.
Here it is.
What's your wellness routine look like now?
I eat dinner early in the evening. I do a nice intermittent fast. I usually eat something about 12. And in the morning, I'll have some things that won't spike my blood sugar, right? So I have coffee, but I really like soup for lunch. I have bone broth for lunch a lot of the days. Try to do 1 hour of movement. So I'll either take a walk or I'll do Pilates or I'll do my Tracy Anderson. And then again in the sauna, I dry brush and again in the sauna. So I do my infrared sauna for 30 minutes. And then for dinner, I try to eat, you know, according to paleo. So lots of vegetables. It's really important for me to support my detox.
What's your well?
I just want to add one thing that you couldn't hear in that clip is that in the very beginning, the podcast host is pointing out that Gwyneth has hooked up to an IV.
Right.
Giving, and she's telling it, that's how I get my vitamins. I feel like that's an important part of this too.
Correct.
Okay.
And also I think the important part is that he's asking her about her wellness routine.
Yes.
And almost every single thing that she mentions is a diet.
She's explaining disordered eating. Like,
yes.
So she's saying like she's getting vitamins through an IV. She also says there's a bunch of clips of this.
Right.
In another clip that like she has two favorite kinds of IV treatments. Yes. And just to clarify, if you've never looked into it, getting those IV treatments is incredibly expensive.
Yes.
This is only something the uber wealthy have access to, just a side note.
Right, but people were saying that you could get those things from the IV in food.
Exactly. So she's fasting, I'm using quote fingers if you're just listening.
Right.
Until noon. Then she's having bone broth. Then she's not eating anything until dinner, where she's having mostly vegetables.
Right.
And then she has to get her vitamins and stuff through an IV.
So saying that she's not eating enough food to get nutrients, to get enough nutrients.
That's not how she means it, but that's what she's saying. And the thing that's hard about this is, for me, it sets off two very different kinds of triggers.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm also someone who's suffered from disordered eating for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So the first trigger, I think anyone who's struggled with that is immediately triggered by the way she's explaining it.
Right.
Because the way she's explaining it happens to be my particular style of disordered eating.
Oh, which is?
Which is that food is toxic.
Right.
And that wellness includes not eating the food with all the toxins
avoiding,
in it.
Right.
Yeah. And that you have to do all this stuff to get rid of the toxicness that's in food.
Gotcha.
And the hard part about that mind fuck is that some of it's true.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, some of it is true that, like, the quality of our food and the preservatives and the pesticides and all of that are in our food.
Right.
But when you go too far down that rabbit hole, you start to believe that all the food is bad. And if you already have a script running in your head that it's bad when you're hungry, like you're wrong because you're not being obedient enough and skinny enough.
Right.
Then when you add that in, it's a very difficult trap to get out of, because like all good traps, there's truth in it.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So huge trigger, because it's like, oh my God, you're promoting this thing that has hurt me and hurts a lot of people all the time. And so super triggered immediately.
Yeah.
Second trigger is I feel like I want to protect her from all the people yelling at her, which is very weird, because I'm also really mad at her at the same time for it. Like, I know she's going to influence other people and they're going to buy into that, or they're going to keep hurting themselves because Gwen said that.
Right.
So it's this weird thing. And the protective thing is like, I'm looking at someone speaking who's suffering.
She's ill.
She's ill. She's suffering from disordered eating. And I don't want to say which one because I don't know. But like, I'm sure I've watched a lot of TikToks, people diagnosing her exactly.
Right.
Who are probably more experts. But I'm just saying, like, it's hard for me to have both anger and then want to fight everyone at the same time to protect her.
Right. Well, and that's what, when we were talking about it before this, about whether or not we should talk about this.
Yep.
And I feel the same way that you do.
You do.
I feel like you can clearly see someone who's not well. Like, I mean, you can visually see it.
Yeah.
You can hear it. You can energetically pick up on it.
Yeah.
But the problem for me is... she's now disseminating all of this as wellness globally.
Yeah.
So like it like I feel badly for her.
Yeah.
But it's also not fair that she, you know, is spending millions of dollars with her company.
Yeah. To promote this.
To promote all of this to susceptible people who are then going to be in the same position that she's in.
Exactly. I 100% agree with that. I feel that same way. It's also hard to watch because you also know that she believes it.
I was just going to say that.
Like, she isn't this is speculation and intuition combined.
Right.
But to me, the vibe of that whole thing is not her talking about it in this way that she wants anyone to suffer.
Nope.
She really thinks that people are going to applaud her for her disciplined approach to wellness.
Or even that documentary series they had on Netflix, the Goop one.
Yes.
Like, there are some people who I think promote these ideas to sell. And I know that she's obviously selling things through Goop. But, like, energetically, she reads as someone who 100% believes this. And she's just answering a question about her own routine.
Yes.
Like, she's not trying to be nefarious or shitty, or harm people, or sell shit and being like slimy.
That's what makes it so hard.
It's hard.
Because if she was just doing that, it would be real easy for me to just be mad at her.
Right.
But that's sort of like being kind of like victim blaming right. a little bit. Like she's in an industry mm-hmm. where she has to be thin.
Yep.
And so she's put in her head that thinness is wellness.
Right.
And so she's followed that. And I understand why people are tearing her apart. This is an important conversation. I'm not bashing anyone for bringing up the problem. I agree.
Oh, no, it's a problem.
It's a huge problem.
Yeah, it's a problem.
But what I'm saying is some of the same people bashing her mm-hmm. would also go and post on something or talk on some e-news show or whatever mm-hmm. that she gained 5 pounds. Or that she's getting too old. It's like when we
right.
get
she
so
can't win.
She we get so pissed at these like celebrity actresses because they have too much plastic surgery. We make fun of them, except we as a society shit on them for looking old.
Right.
They don't get any parts anymore if they're not old and thin. I mean, young and thin. You right. know what I mean?
Yes.
Like
yes.
So it's like this that part of it's
double
hard
standard.
Because it's like that person is both suffering and stuck in a system bigger than them, mm-hmm. but then they're also promoting it.
Right.
Not on purpose, but like, I mean, on purpose, but I don't think they're trying to harm people.
Right.
But they're pushing that out and they're using right. their influence in a way that's harmful.
It just sucks because I feel like she could be a real hero.
I agree.
And she's not. Like,
I agree.
She's so stuck in the machine of it.
Yeah.
With all of her money, all of her influence, all of her ties in Hollywood. Like,
yeah.
She could be a real change maker.
I agree. I agree. And I think if you haven't seen her saying these things, like mm-hmm. if you just heard the audio,
yeah,
I think you should go look
mm-hmm.
because what you see is a very thin woman,
mm-hmm.
but you also see a woman that looks ill.
She looks tired.
She looks malnourished mm-hmm. if you look at her.
Yep. Well, she is. She's saying
well, yeah.
she is.
She has to get her vitamins from an IV. When you could just eat food, but
right.
it's clear that she's seeing food as like you can hear that in
yeah.
her. So it's a tough one, but it's
yeah.
worth the conversation, even if this airs a month after it happened.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, we're back and I spilled water all over myself. I took a sip and it was really full and I'm all wet.
So go check it out on YouTube if you
want
to
yeah,
see it.
If you want if you watched the Obsessed segment on YouTube and you're like, why is she suddenly all wet? That's why.
Accidents happen.
Yeah. But you know, water can be some speller.
Nice segue.
So back to spell work. I'm a professional here.
I see you did that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I personally, this is just me personally, not mm-hmm. everyone agrees, think that spell work should be simple.
Agreed.
I think it should be easy to do. Hmm. I don't think you need to go find 20 million ingredients.
God.
I don't.
And that is such a barrier for people.
Yeah.
It's a barrier for me. When I see people like talking about spells and all the things they use, I'm like, oh, this is so cool. And I'm like,
yeah,
nope.
Where am I going to get like
Eye
of Newt?
Those.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. Yeah.
Even like, I know we're making jokes about like Eye of Newt and like frog's breath or whatever, but like a lot of it's just spices.
Well, yeah, I mean, I even feel that way sometimes when I find a recipe, just something to cook on Pinterest. I'm like, this sounds great, but I've never heard of like 5 of these ingredients, and
right.
I'm not going to put in the
effort $40 later.
It. Yeah, no.
Like some people
it's
don't
the same.
Have the ability to do stuff like that. So
yeah.
I think it should be simple, but I would add, I also think that once you get the feel of
yes.
doing this stuff, like follow someone, right?
Yes.
But once you get the feel of it,
Personalize it completely.
Customize it.
Take the base stuff. This is what I do. And use it for yourself.
Right.
Like use it in your own life in a way that works.
Right.
And find the ones you like. Just because I say like these are the spells I like, you might hear some of them and be like, I don't want to do that.
Right.
Then don't do it.
Exactly.
Like, find the ones that speak to you.
Right.
There's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them and so many different versions.
And you know what's going to happen? If you actually start doing this and doing it pretty regularly, you'll start to make your own.
I do that.
You'll just start to make your own. You'll know enough. You'll have
yeah.
enough foundational information
yes.
to be like, oh no, I'm just going to do this. I have this goal. And then you'll make it up yourself.
Yes.
That's
actually,
every spell I've ever done.
I hope people like tag us in them or
mm-hmm.
like write to us what they did. Cause
mm-hmm.
I would love to try it. Like I love hearing how people personalize stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one I had to start with is one we've mentioned before, and
mm-hmm.
it's the abundance spell that you and I both do because
yeah.
people send us clips of them doing it. And
yeah.
I have to say that makes me so happy
yeah.
that people do it.
Always.
How easy is this one, though? Do you want to tell the people the cinnamon abundance spell?
Well, yes, I'd love to. but people are actually changing it now. We've talked about offline is that the first of the month.
Uh-huh.
But if you don't want to go by the Gregorian calendar,
mm-hmm.
you could go by the new moon.
Mm-hmm.
And you literally just step outside of your front door
mm-hmm.
and you take a handful of cinnamon, mm-hmm. not like a full hand. You just, you know, put some in your palm.
We've already talked that Jamie uses more than I do.
I use a lot.
Yeah.
I'll just take like whatever the crevice is that is on my palm. I just fill it up.
I do just like two shakes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I do more than that.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Whatever works for you, do it. Yeah.
But then you stand outside your door.
Yeah.
And then
the door's closed.
My door's open.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Yeah, because you're basically sending abundance into mm-hmm. your home, into your life, right? Where you live your life is your home. So
you're either blowing it onto the door, the thing that enters into the house, or you're having the door open and you're blowing it through the threshold.
Yeah.
Either way.
And which is a perfect example of how there's no right and there's no wrong.
Absolutely not. Whatever one works for you.
Right.
I've seen it done. I've seen people do it through a window.
I've seen people sprinkle it like on just in front of the threshold of the door.
Same.
On the porch or on the step or whatever.
Yes.
So then you just say something either inside.
Yeah.
Think it, or you say it outside about bringing abundance into your life.
Yep.
Because it's the start of the new month.
Yep.
So whether that's like something that you look up online and you find like a sentence that sounds like an affirmation.
Yeah.
Or if you're like me and you're like, I'm literally just thinking the words.
Yeah, I like to picture like a lot of abundance flying at me.
Right, because you're clairvoyant.
Yes, I am.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm just like abundance, prosperity, health, happiness.
You're just like knowing it because you're claircognizant.
And then you just blow it.
Yep.
You put your hand up to your mouth and just blow it in.
Yep. Yep.
So
that's it. It's so easy.
But the thing that if you look it up, they'll say cinnamon represents abundance.
Yes.
Right?
There's a reason for that. But if you don't have cinnamon, use something else.
What if you have a coffee drink that has cinnamon in it?
Jamie is drinking a blueberry maple from Restoration Coffee.
Which is my favorite coffee of all time.
It is. And it has cinnamon in it.
But that's like I'm not just promoting Resto, which I am. But literally, every single time I drink this drink, you can see it. Like, I can see it on the cap right now.
Yep.
So now it's coded in my brain
that
cinnamon equals abundance.
Which is my favorite part of spell work. Because
take a sip.
Go ahead, you take a sip. You pull in that abundance. My favorite part of spell work that I think a lot of people miss is that it goes beyond the actual spell. So what you're doing is reinforcing the spell all the time, which is what people kind of miss in this work a lot. So every time you see cinnamon, same with me, someone's like, oh, there's cinnamon in this or whatever. I'm like, ooh. I say the same sentence. Right. And for me, my sentence is like, I don't want to say mine because I don't want to influence anyone.
No.
But like, it's basically the same. And then sometimes I'll alter like a few of the key words just depending on how I feel.
Right.
That's it. But it's like a basic five word sentence.
Exactly.
So like, you can just repeat words. You can say a sentence. You can read a whole 6-page essay to the door if you need to. Like,
correct.
It does not,
whatever's going to get you to that energetic state.
Yes.
And so now cinnamon will like pop me into that state.
Same. And I say the sentence again anytime cinnamon is in front of me. I did it when I saw you walk in with a drink. Yeah. So like that is spell work.
Right.
It's a good one.
Why we're all doing it. That's the point.
Exactly. Exactly. And hopefully you have a friend like Jamie who texts you on the first to remind you to blow cinnamon at your door.
First.
Yeah. Right. All right. Another one that I really like is the foggy window spell.
Mm.
So anytime you go by a foggy window. Now, let me just suggest that you do it to your own windows. Like maybe, I don't know if someone else wants you doing this to their window.
Right.
I mean, I might do it if I was at your house, but like, please don't get like arrested for
being a weirdo
and then say the IGG sent you. Or maybe do it. I don't know. That sounds kind of fun to me.
Right.
Whatever. But anytime a window is fogged up,
mm-hmm.
You go to the mirror, and in the fog,
mm-hmm.
you write a couple of words.
In the glass. Yeah.
And that is like the words of something that you want.
Yes.
It's kind of like a magical list.
Mm-hmm.
So you could write an amount of money.
Yeah.
You could write love. You could write power. You could write, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't write like 87 words, but just write a couple things that represent to you what you want.
This is embarrassing.
Oh, I'm very excited. Can't wait to hear what this embarrassing
I don't know if other people do this.
Okay.
But I remember being like a middle schooler.
Yeah.
And when I was, like, getting out of the shower and the glass was foggy,
uh-huh.
I would write, like, my crush's name.
Oh, that's a spell. That's a spell. A love spell.
I know.
That's not embarrassing.
That's why I'm just telling you.
I used to write it and then do that, like, weird mash thing. Remember that game?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, it would be like, okay, this is how many kids we'll have.
We're going to get married and live in a mansion.
I was also, like, a big fan of the acrostics.
Oh, yes.
So then I would do the name,
right.
Put the acrostics in. All spell work, by the way.
Yes. So yes. I'm just
yes.
similar.
I love it. I just would like to say some people do it on mirrors. You have to use a little extra caution with mirror work.
I was a young witch. I didn't know at the time.
You've also always had an interesting tie to mirrors.
Yes.
But I just want to say, if it's your first time doing it, maybe not with the mirror.
Just go to the window.
Mirrors are weird portally energy things.
Yes.
We've talked about this before. So you just want to be careful. I personally would not do it to a mirror because it's reflecting the thing backwards at me. And that's energetically not what I want.
Right.
I also don't typically feel good when I look in a mirror. I'm working on it, but that's not usually like a great state for me. So like, I'm not gonna do it then, but like a window feels better to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time you pass that window again, you're going to call the spell back up.
Right.
Okay. Protection spells.
Mm-hmm.
We love a good protection spell. Jamie does a lot of these.
Yep.
You can weigh in if you want, but one of my favorite ones is to make a bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a specific spell where you use something red. So it's a red bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you see celebrities wearing them. Some of it is
Kabbalah.
Yeah. Because they use spell work in that. Okay. But just because you have a red bracelet on doesn't mean you're part of that.
Right.
You could have just cast a protection spell.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to give you the red bracelet one, and I'm going to give you like the structure to it, but I don't think it has to be red, and I don't think it has to be a bracelet. I think it can be anything.
Yep.
So you're going to have someone you love tie it on you. It's important that you, for a protection spell, don't tie it on yourself. First of all, that's really difficult.
It's super difficult.
Okay, but you want someone else to tie this on you.
Right.
Now, I'll give you another way to do this if you don't have someone else to do it or you want to do it yourself. But with the bracelet one, someone else does it.
Okay.
Because there's an important element to this. I don't want to spoil it. Okay. So someone, and you don't want it to be a rando, like a stranger. Someone who like has good intention for you is who you want to tie it on you.
Someone you trust.
Exactly. You're going to have them put it on your left side.
Mm-hmm.
So your left hand, your left wrist is where you would put this. The reason for that is because that is the side in your body for a feminine energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the side that receives energy.
Right.
Now, listen, there's a lot more to that.
Yep.
Some people get into this whole, like, feminine is just receiving. It's not putting out into the world. And that's not true. We both know that all feminine energy recycles in and goes right back
in
out.
And out.
Yeah.
And out.
But this is the side that you would do it. Now, do I think if you put it on your right hand that you're screwed and not protected? No. Do I think it probably works better on your left hand? Yes. Probably.
Yeah.
As it's tied, you say the intention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the person's tying it, you say your intention. So this is an intention of protection, but from what or who or whatever is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay. Now you wear it until it falls off. But when it falls off, you can't touch it.
Right.
Because it has fallen off because it's absorbed so much
energy.
It's over and you're now protected from the thing.
Right.
But if you go and then pick it up, you're going to absorb all the energy back.
Take it back.
Yes. So this is why someone else ties it too.
Mm-hmm.
So that like you aren't physically binding it to yourself. So it can fall off. This is a binding spell as well as a knot spell.
Gotcha.
All knot spells are binding spells, but you know what I mean.
Right.
So if you bind it to yourself, it's not going to fall off when it's done.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So that's where that comes from.
Yep.
You can use this for, it doesn't have to just be a red rope or whatever, or ribbon, or it can be anything. In fact, anytime you're wearing jewelry that has like a crystal or a gemstone or a rock on it, I would adhere to this. I put them on myself.
I was just going
to
say the crystal part.
But they fall off my body, usually dramatically. I've told the story before where like a bracelet or a necklace will just explode off of my body if it has crystals on it and go everywhere. If you can possibly not touch the ones after, but gather it. I've done it with a napkin.
Yep.
And get rid of it.
Yep.
It's done with you.
Yep.
It's over.
Yep.
give it away.
Same with my daughter. You two are the same with that.
They There's something about us that explodes off of our craziness. But that's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
You can also do that same thing, and you can just take a bunch of ribbons, any color, tie knots in them, and put them on the windowsill.
Mm.
And that's going to do the same kind of protection. That. All right. If they disappear, they disappeared.
Right.
What I would do is make sure you set an intention that there are not trinkets for the Fae to take.
Yes. You're not calling them in.
Yeah.
Good point.
Careful. They might good think point. It's a present. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point.
Okay. So another one that I love is on a full moon is writing an intention on a piece of paper, mm-hmm. and then burning it and letting it float up into the sky.
Yep.
Beautiful spell work. Love it.
That's a good one.
All right. I want to talk about the freezer one.
Yeah.
I love the freezer one.
Yep.
Okay. So if you have someone that is talking shit about you.
Yep.
Or you just have someone you want to literally freeze out of your life. You just don't want them around. You want them out. Yep. And I mean, not just physically, energetically, you just want to cut the ties.
Correct.
Okay. This is called a binding spell as well, mm-hmm. just so everybody knows the type. But you're going to write their name on a piece of paper,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to place it in something and then put it in the freezer.
Right.
Now, there's different schools of thought on this. I personally will write the name. This is me telling people that I have put names in the freezer.
It's I've true. Done it.
Okay. I write their name.
Mm-hmm.
I put it in a plastic bag and seal it.
Same.
And then I put it in.
Same.
Okay. Now, the thing about that is that it does freeze in the plastic bag. But what a lot of people will tell you, if you look it up, is to put some kind of water or mm-hmm. some kind of wet agent in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
They'll also say it should be a glass jar because that stuff can't get out. Again, simple is better in my opinion. But if you want to have a bunch of glass jars with people's name in it in your freezer, do it. The plastic bags are easier to just hide down the bottom. Right. But whatever. Well,
for me, the water is emotion.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm just like...
Yeah.
Drowned.
Freeze.
Metaphorically.
Drowned and then freeze.
Metaphorically,
yes.
Of course.
Yes. Any of that is fine.
Right.
In a plastic bag, there's enough condensation that there is liquid there frozen.
It crystallizes. And
yes.
Stuff. Yep.
Okay. Now, as you seal whatever it's in, I do think you shouldn't just put the name in the freezer. I think it should be in something. Mm-hmm. Do I think that's terrible if you just do that? No.
Right.
But I just think it works better.
Right.
When you seal the bag or the jar or whatever it's in, you're going to say your intention.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just be careful here because your intention should be about you and how it affects you, not what you're trying to do to the other person.
Right.
I realize that all TV and movies of casting a spell don't
to
do
harm
that.
People. Right?
Yeah. But that's real witchcraft. Right. Just keep it about yourself.
Right.
You can mention the name, all of that. But like,
right.
I want this person to not affect my life anymore. I don't want to feel their presence in my life anymore. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Keep it about you.
Right.
And include them.
Right.
And then you seal it and then you're going to put it in the freezer.
Right.
Now, I usually forget about it until a year later when I'm like getting that like weird thing of chicken that's been frozen for a year down at the bottom or I'm cleaning up the freezer.
Right.
I always put it way down the bottom.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I find it mm-hmm. is when I usually then discard it, and I'll tell you how to discard it. But some people leave it in the freezer forever.
Right.
Also fine. I just wouldn't want to be like constantly looking at it in the freezer.
Exactly.
Okay. So what you can do when you discard it, you don't want to discard it until it's worked.
Yeah.
So if the person still keeps coming in, they need to stay in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if they're gone, you can take the name, take the paper out and bury it in the ground. I don't think I would throw it in the trash. I would burn it. That would be fine. But like, I think you would actually want it
out.
Gone.
Right.
So that's...
I agree.
Okay. And again, leave them frozen forever. If they come back, just repeat.
Right back in the freezer with you.
Yes. New writing.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Love spell.
Mm-hmm.
I want us to try this.
Okay.
Because this spell sounds fun to me.
Okay.
And I thought it would be fun to like maybe in an obsessed segment in the future, tell everyone how it went.
Okay.
Okay. We just have to remember to tell people about it.
Okay.
Okay. This is for people in a current relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, love spells are way easier to do if the person already loves you.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I know there's the whole love potion number 9 and the idea of that. And right. You can absolutely do that. I'll tell you how to do it. But like, that's really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
But a spell on someone who already loves you is way easier.
Right.
Okay, so we're both going to try this on our husbands.
Okay.
They're not going to hear about this till this airs, and we'll have already tried it.
Right.
Okay. So you take a jar of honey. Mm-hmm. You want it to be probably a glass jar, mm-hmm. but whatever works. I don't think I would go to personally to the grocery store to get it. I think I'd want to buy like local honey or something,
right.
or get a good one at the grocery store. Yep. That's like
real honey.
Yeah. The good stuff.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So you are going to do this to sweeten your current relationship, hence the honey. So again, on a piece of paper, you're mm-hmm. going to write the person who you're in love with, who you want to sweeten the relationship with, you're going to write their name 3 times.
Okay.
There are versions of this that you also write your name and then they cross in certain ways. Again, I think that's too complicated, but you can do that too.
But things, when you do things like that, it's not because it actually has to be like that. It's because when you're writing it like that, you're just creating the intention.
Yeah, like visually connects it for you.
It's not because like it's some weird like coding. It's
right.
because you're doing it in your energy field. You're just setting the intention.
Exactly. So if the idea of like drawing something and connecting the name, like if that makes you feel more connected to the spell, you should definitely do it. That right. I don't need that, but like if that's what you need,
right.
go for it. Make do the acrostic I told you I used to do. Maybe I'll try that. Okay, so you write it 3 times.
I'm making one for Matt in my head right now.
Magical. Okay, I'll stop making acrostics. So you write the name 3 times, and then you fold the paper 3 times.
Yep.
Okay, you place the paper into the jar of honey, into the honey.
If you wanted to get technical, you could fold the paper towards you.
Yes.
Because you're bringing that sweetness towards you. If you're doing more of a protective spell, you would fold it away from you.
Excellent point.
Sort of semantics, but again, energetically representative of what you're doing.
It's ritual, and that is very powerful. Mm-hmm. So I like that a lot. I also think like holding it up close to your heart while you fold it is a good idea. Okay. So you're going to get your fingers messy. You're going to shove that name into the honey.
Right.
That it's going to be folded little. Don't do like a like 8x11,
right.
like a little sticky note or something.
Right.
So you're going to then take a spoonful of that honey mm-hmm. and put it in a cup of tea.
Okay.
All right. Then you're going to seal the jar. And as you seal it, you're going to say your intention.
Okay.
And then you're going to sit and you're going to drink your tea with that honey in it mm-hmm. and focus on the intention the whole time you drink the tea.
Okay.
Now, can you be scrolling TikTok while you do that or watching TV or going for a walk? Yes. I actually think it works better if you're not like fully...
While you're drinking the tea?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I do think you need to have it...
To be aware.
It's going to be somewhere in your brain that you're kind of repeating it or thinking of it every time you take a sip.
Right.
Okay. Then you're going to see how that works. Now, different schools of thought here. Mm-hmm. I say once a week, grab a little scoop from that jar and drink it and repeat it. Okay. Other people say unsealing it breaks the spell.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, I would just keep the honey jar somewhere I could look at. Mm-hmm. Because this is something you want, so you want to see it.
Right.
But other people say to, like, they'll go bury the honey jar out near flowers. So, like, the love blooms.
So, see how it's just whatever
yes.
the intention is.
If that appeals to you, you love that idea.
Right.
Go freaking do it. If that's, if that's, to me, like, that's too much work. I'm not going to dig a hole. I don't want to use a shovel if I don't have to. So I'm probably not going to do that part.
Right.
But I would put like the jar of honey next to a plant that I already have in my house. Mm-hmm. But like, again, if it depends on what you're drawn to.
Right. This is why you personalize them. Because you have to be able to tap into the energy of it. If you're out there like digging a hole and being like, why am I digging this dumb hole?
That would be me.
Then it won't work.
Well, because I always have this illusion that like I'm good at manual labor.
Until you're doing it.
And then I go out and I'm like... I'm bad at this and I'm not built for this and I don't want to be doing like I
Matt.
Yeah. What's the acrostic?
You're so magical, Matt. Come dig this hole.
The thing is he probably would be like, what do you need a hole for? We're burying some honey for a spell. That wouldn't be weird to him.
No, not at all.
He would just be like, sounds right,
exactly.
You know. Is my name in it? Yep.
Perfect. I don't
put it in a good spot then. But just be considerate of those things.
Right.
Again, just just have intention to however you do it. Like, right. I wouldn't just shove it in a cabinet. Like, no. I'm putting it in this cabinet for this reason. Or I'm putting it here. Like, just keep intention, and that's going to make it more powerful.
Yep.
Okay. Candles are just a great way to use spell work.
I like candles.
So I would personally, if you just have a candle and you want to use it, do mm-hmm. that. But if you're going to buy some candles to do spell work, I would pay attention to the colors.
Yes.
Now, you don't have to, but using the correct colors is just going to amplify it.
Right.
You want to be careful not to use something that's in opposition to what you want. Correct. So you just want to know the color.
Yeah, and you can also, if you go to like a cool magical shop like Ravenstone that we have here near us, or I'm sure there's millions everywhere.
Yeah.
You can buy the little candles.
Yes.
They're very small, and that I feel like perfect is better for spell a ritual. Work.
Right. Yeah, because you don't want to then use it if the power goes out.
Right, exactly. Or like, not know where it is.
Or have someone else light it not knowing what it's for. Right. That could not be great. All right. Yeah. So just a quick thing on the colors. Mm-hmm. White is usually peace, balance, purity.
Mm-hmm.
Red, lust, sex, passion, spice. Blue is harmony, healing, serenity. Black is protection or abolition. Purple is power and self-confidence. Pink is self-love, compassion, longevity.
Green is abundance.
Green is abundance, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would just, whatever spell you're going to do, I would just Google the colors and see which one you feel like fits. Do you need 12?
Right.
No, but just...
But also don't get stuck. If you only have a white candle, as you're setting it up, just set the intention that this candle represents protection and power.
Yes. I mean, if you used a white candle and your intention was to cause chaos, it probably won't work as well because it's going to... Peace is white too. Like, do you know what I mean? But it's not going to stop it.
Right.
So it's just what amplifies it. So choose that new candle for each spell. Don't cast a spell with a candle you already cast a spell with.
Mm.
Relight the candle to amplify the spell.
Yep.
But if you cast a spell for, I don't know.
So this is where I break a little bit of the rules.
Oh, I love a rule breaker.
Because I have a candle that I use, but I use it for all of my protection.
Okay. Okay.
So they might be for different people or different situations, but they all have the same, like...
Yeah. All your protection purpose. Spells are done with this candle.
Right.
That's fine. But I don't know that you would want to, like, cast a... Like, I want this person to, you know, lust after me with your red candle. And then the next day be like, I want to feel really passionate about reading. And then, like, light that same one. Like, now you're...
The energy gets wonky.
You ignited too many things at the same time.
Right.
But the same sort of thing, mm-hmm. I think that's totally fine.
Yep.
Okay. So just repeat your words, your mm-hmm. mantra, or whatever you're doing that you've created with your candle, and then let the candle burn. You can write the words and burn them if you want. I don't usually do that. Mm-hmm. I do usually just say them, and then I just kind of keep glancing at the candle.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it.
Right.
Relight it if you want. Let it burn all the way out if you want. Fine.
I also put salt around my candles.
Smart. Protection
salt
again.
Salt is protection.
Yeah. Just in case you haven't caught on, Jamie is like a very natural protector of everybody and everything. And like literally every time you talk about a spell, you're like, so for protection.
Right.
Yeah. But that's you. Like not just of yourself, but of other people you're usually protecting.
Right.
Yeah. If you're casting a spell on me, I'm usually like, oh, what is she protecting me from? I like scan the room. Like someone's energy is wonky in here because Jamie just threw a protection spell at me.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Is that like a weird insight into our friendship that the viewers are like, what?
Probably not at this rate.
One of my most favorite that I do every day is just taking a shower to cleanse off anything. Like even if somebody upsets me, a lot of times I'll just go take a shower just to like get rid of, like cleanse the energy away so I can just... I'm still going to process it, but like, I just don't want it all over me.
Agree.
You know, when you're around like one of those scuzzy guys that's looking at you weird and you're just like, I just need to shower. That's because you're a witch and you're going to go get his energy off of
exactly.
you. So you can also just imagine a shower.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Breeze spell. I do this all the time. Mm. And I did this as a kid and I remember learning it was a spell and was like, oh, I already do this. Anytime you notice a breeze hit you, you just say a... You say something.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You did that as a kid?
Yeah.
I love that. Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, I always... And again, let me just say, the breeze can mean whatever it needs to mean to you.
Right.
To me, I always feel like a little recharged when the breeze hits me. Almost like the universe was just like, whoosh.
Right.
Like someone just threw a bunch of energy at me. Right. Yeah. So I just, anytime a breeze hit me, even as a little kid, I would just imagine like this fairy dust surrounding me and just like whoop, reinstalling all my energy.
I love that.
Yeah. So I still do that. And as an adult, now I just know it's a spell I'm doing.
That's so cool.
But anytime, it doesn't have to be recharge. You know, someone else could feel like it cleanses them. You know, someone else could feel like it grounds them. It doesn't matter.
Or protects them.
So every time, you would definitely be like, ooh, protection breeze has blown. I'm like, fairy dust is recharging me.
And you're like all walls activated.
So, yeah, but it can be anything. That's the beauty of most spells, mm-hmm. right?
Exactly.
So you just, then every time it does it, you're going to repeat it. You can switch it up, but mm-hmm. I would be consistent with it.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't every time a breeze hits say something different. Right. Yeah. So, you know, just use your intuition. As a spell I see all the time is people going out and touching a tree to ground their energy.
Mm.
That's a spell. You set the intention to be grounded and you touched a piece of nature.
Right.
That's a spell.
Yeah.
Scroll spells, easy to do. I would take like a postcard size piece of paper, but you can use any size. I just usually use that.
Mm-hmm.
Or a sticky note. I tend to like sticky notes.
Yeah.
You write the things you want on it.
Yeah.
You scroll it up.
Yep.
And then you tie a knot. Now you've got a knot spell on it and you put it on the windowsill.
Yeah.
That's easy. A spell. Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Create your own. Just anything you want.
Yeah.
If you match a color
mm-hmm.
and you match an earthly element mm-hmm. that represents it, like an herb or a crystal or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they fit in with the energy that you're putting out into the world, mm-hmm. you're amplifying it.
Yeah.
But you don't need to use any of that stuff.
Right.
So just make it up. Like, again, I don't think I'd want to use a crystal that was going to go against what I was trying to do
yeah.
energetically, because it's probably going to dampen what you're mm-hmm. doing, but... If you just pay it, like you just use the Google
mm-hmm.
and grab the thing, perfect.
Yep.
And just say the words you want.
Yep.
Be a little ritualistic about it, mm-hmm. and that's a spell.
You can go to like all the witchy stores now, and they sell those little tiny, mm-hmm. Like they look like spell jars, but
yes.
they're literally like an inch tall.
Yes.
And some of them you can buy empty, but some they already come with like little.
Yes.
Little bits of crystals.
Yep.
You know, and they'll say like, oh, this one's for protection. This one's
yep.
for calming. This one's for peace. But I got those and I put them in my kids' backpacks.
Smart.
But then I also put my own little...
Protection in it.
Protection. Yes.
Are they for protection, the ones you got
yes.
them?
Yes. Yes. Now that you're bringing this to my attention. Yes, they are. But I put my own Reiki on it. I put my own energy on it.
I think your protection is my control.
Yes.
I just hit the mic when I said control.
That's tracks.
So aligned with it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But the point is that like you could get those empty ones and put anything. You could put cinnamon in it.
That's
if you
a
want
spell
abundance.
Jar. Exactly. That's.
So like do whatever you want.
Put honey in it and do the love spell. Any
but
of
then
the
put it in works. Your, put it in your purse or put it in your backpack and
yes.
let it work. Like you don't have to.
Yeah. You can also just
manage it.
Grab a crystal and set an intention on it and throw it in your bag. I have them all over my house. You walk around my house, you go to scavenger hunt for different rocks and crystals.
Yeah.
And you can see them
yeah,
all right
all
over there. Especially on like entrances or like, so in my office where we're recording, there's like a half wall.
Right.
It's like you come up the stairs. And to me, that's like a weird energetic thing
mm-hmm.
to have a half wall.
Yeah.
So how many crystals do you say are on there? 10?
No. Like 20 probably.
Okay. It was a lot. There's a crystal tree.
Yeah, probably
there's a
20.
Huge. Yeah, there's
yeah.
a ton, there's a huge crystal ball yeah. on it. Like, and that is because that is there's a lot of energy that comes in and out of this room. So
yeah.
because of what I do, right? So like there's a lot of protection on that. But you walk around my house and it's just wherever I felt I needed it and
right.
I set an intention and I was like, this part of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Do that.
Yeah. Clear it.
Throw it in your bag, throw it in your bra, throw it in your pocket.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
I keep mine in my car, like in the little catch-all area, because
okay.
I'm in the car so much.
I have too many sensory issues for it to be physically on my body, so it's usually in my purse.
Mm. Yeah.
Or in my car, too.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how people wear it in the bra, but...
Oh, no. Yeah.
That would be a lot. But if that works for you, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go try this,
mm-hmm.
is my point.
Yep.
I think we should go get more coffee with cinnamon and honey.
There we go.
And we'll do both spells at the same time.
They have a honey drink at Resto.
They sure do.
Honey Rose.
Let's go get it.
Hey everyone, Heather and I have an ask for you. If you love this episode or if you love the IGG, can you do us a favor? We need you to go onto whatever platform you listen on and download, subscribe, like, love, whatever it's asking you to do. Can you go do those things for us on the platforms that you listen on? It would mean so much to us.
Thanks for listening to our episode. For a way to get in touch with us, please visit our website, intuitivegirlsguide.com. We love hearing your feedback on our episodes.